We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
It's the First Take Your Take podcast, and as we now do every single day, we start First Take Your Take. You'll get to some of the First Take. You'll get to some of the Your Take, but we start with my take. And I want to start by talking about the NBA. Look, it's easy to turn around and credit the NBA for being ahead of the curve on so many things. They've done it more often than not. And it's also easy to turn around and discredit the NCAA for being behind. They've been that way more often than not. But sometimes we let our preconceived notions decide what we should think about things that are right in front of us. Yes, the NCAA took a long time to cancel March Madness. At the end of the day, who cares? They got it canceled. They didn't put anybody at risk. And they took their time examining all the facts that they possibly had in front of them. Conversely, the NBA, a league I've spent a lot of time crediting, turned around and they were the first to cancel, or I should say suspend, their league. As a result, everybody looks at them as the trendsetter. Yet again, the NBA is ahead of the curve. They're not. They weren't. And you're buying into a lie. Let's acknowledge what really happened. Rudy Gobert failed a test that showed that he had the coronavirus. Rudy Gobert, who wanted to play in that game that night. Rudy Gobert, who was a late scratch to play for the Jazz. Play for the Jazz in a packed arena. Why was the arena packed? Because the NBA was ready to go on with the game. The NBA, the Utah Jazz, knew that Rudy Gobert had taken a test, right? They didn't cancel it. They knew that there was a possibility. They didn't cancel the league. They waited until he failed the test, and then they had to react. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes it's better to be unlucky than good. In this case, the NBA was unlucky. A star player failed a coronavirus test. And in that sense, though, it made them good. They reacted to that. We're making it sound like the NBA was proactive. They put player health in front of dollars being earned. They put the sake of the community in front of the sake of business. And that's trash. The NBA did the same thing everybody else has done. They looked at the possibility of playing in front of empty arenas. They looked at the possibility of trying to maybe postpone things. But ultimately, what did they do? They let that arena get full. Not only that arena, every other arena. Remember what you felt that night when you were watching a live game as the reports were out there that the league was going to suspend the season. While you were watching a game, they still let people go in at risk. And we're crediting them? Look, I understand that the NBA is usually ahead of the curve, and I understand they were the first domino to fall. I also understand that every other major professional sport has sort of followed suit. But do you really believe that the NHL wouldn't have done the same thing if it had been one of their players that failed a test? Do you really believe that golf wouldn't have done the same thing if it was Tiger that, God forbid, failed a test? Do you really believe NASCAR wouldn't have done the same thing? No. The NBA did the exact same thing every other league would do. And if the NCAA had the same exact situation, a packed arena, a game about to tip off, the imagery of a team doctor running out to stop it, would we credit the NCAA or would we say, oh my God, how did the NCAA even let their players get into that position? It's a reminder, as always, we're holding different leagues and different commissioners to different standards, not based on what they're doing today, but based on what they've done in the past. And that's a fine reality that we have to live in. But I, for one, will not be part of sending Adam Silver of the NBA roses anytime soon, because what they were doing is the same thing everybody else was doing. They were trying to get that money, even if it meant putting you and their players at risk. They didn't do what they wanted to do. They do what they had to do. And doing what you have to do in a moment of crisis is not something I'm going to commend to the same level everybody else has. That's my take. Now, here's First Take, Your Take, the podcast. The coronavirus continues to impact all of sports, and we continue to try and break it down as it happens. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We are going to let you chime in. It's tough right now. Obviously, everybody's got their mind wrapped around what all this means, how we move forward, what the next steps are. But we are going to let you chime in, and through all of it, maybe give everybody a little bit of escapism. Here's the question we're asking you. You can chime in 888-SAY-ESPN. with no live sports. Give us one game or event you're going to rewatch this weekend. One moment you want to relive to sort of escape from everything you're seeing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz as we will continue to break down what's next, what it means. And the sporting world continues to be impacted. We've seen at this so far this morning postponements across the landscape of the PGA. We've seen postponements continue across the landscape of NASCAR. You continue to see the breaking news of the events we've got up on the screen. Obviously, we know at this point the NHL, Major League Baseball, they've suspended their seasons, but the trickle-down continues as we look forward. Ohio State has now canceled spring sports. They postponed everything, which means there'll be no football practices, no spring games. This is just the beginning of what we continue to see. We'll keep giving you the Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We're going to be joined by an expert again in just a moment, as we did yesterday, to give you some thoughts on the latest breaking news that we need from all of it. But again, I want you guys to chime in. Let's have a little bit, as much as we can, through a very serious time. I'm not trying to be flippant, but I want to try and give everybody at least the opportunity to escape for the next couple of hours. So for the next couple of hours, in addition to getting you some great guests, they're going to break down the latest that's happening. And in addition to breaking down some of what they gave you on First Take, we're going to take your take on no live sports this weekend. So I want the one game or event you're re-watching to escape. You guys can chime in at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It felt like yesterday was one moment after the other of breaking news. It felt like yesterday we were constantly chasing everything. We now know the breaking news. Augusta has announced the Masters will be postponed at this point. It was originally set for April 9th through the 12th. It will be postponed. A rescheduling date has not yet been announced. We know that the Boston Marathon has been postponed until September 14th. We know that NASCAR has postponed the Atlanta and Homestead races. And keep that in mind, because yesterday we heard that NASCAR was going to run the races with nobody in the crowds, much like we saw with the NBA, where one day it looked like they were going to continue to try to get these events done with nobody in the crowd. We now know that suddenly we're looking at postponements, cancellations. We're continuing to look across the board and see that essentially everything you're watching is going away. Your escapism is going away. And I'll also go back to the entertainment world. We've seen movies delayed. We're seeing concerts and tours be postponed or canceled altogether. So as we continue to get those pieces of information, we'll keep breaking it down as we go. We do know yesterday we talked to Dr. Celine Gounder. She is an absolute expert on infectious diseases. It was so awesome. We're going to have her back today. So we're working on that as we speak. We're going to have her back on today to give a little bit of the insight of what's changed, what we now know, and what's new. In fact, we can now say we'll go to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where Dr. Celine Gounder joins us again, internist, infectious disease specialist, an epidemiologist. I point out her qualifications because I continue to yell loudly to everybody, I'm not a doctor. So we're going to get some people on that can help break down the latest and what we need to know. Now, first and foremost, Dr. Gounder, you were spectacular yesterday. Thanks for giving us some time again today. Yesterday, you said something with us that sort of took everybody, made our jaws drop. When I asked you, in a perfect world, how much longer we're looking at, and you said if everything went right and everybody sort of aligned and did all things the right way, maybe 8 weeks. And I know we're generalizing and we're guessing here, but we're 24 hours later. So as we are 24 hours later, has your time frame changed and where you feel we are right now in the coronavirus outbreak?
Yeah, with each day that goes by, my assessment of this becomes more and more pessimistic. We still haven't done what needs to be done. And with each day that goes by, you know, when you have something with an exponential growth rate, we are quite literally at that point in the curve where things just shoot up. And we're still putzing around. It's really a problem.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around a couple of things here. One is that we've seen the news now that theme parks are closing for the rest of the month, so we know that's for a mm-hmm. few weeks. Why are we seeing theme parks close for a few weeks, but sporting events seem like they're just going to be on hold for the foreseeable future?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that those are truly different approaches. I think with some of the sporting events, they're putting them on hold, and then they're going to be reevaluating every day where they stand. I think the theme parks, you know, and some of this may have to do with just how people are paid and employed and their benefits and all of those kinds of things. You know, I think at the end of that period that the theme parks are closed, they may well find themselves having to extend that even further.
We're talking to Dr. Celine Gounder. She's an internist. She's an infectious disease specialist. She's an epidemiologist. She also is the host of American Diagnosis and Epidemic Podcast. Dr. Gounder, I want to go to the positive here. We're looking at, you know, solutions. When you look through all of this, how quickly can the virus pass through? How can we be looking at a real solution to this? I think we've lost her there. Sounds like we've lost the phone line. We'll try and get her back on to get an answer, because many of you asked me yesterday, you know, what are we looking at when we look forward? How do we look forward from all of this? And that's an answer we don't have. She makes a very valid point too. We have to understand that we've seen the word postponement in some cases and seen the word cancellation in others. There's a distinct and important difference between the two. Part of the reason we're seeing postponement is because, let's be real, at this point, everybody day by day is shifting what we know. That's so important to continue to stress to everybody, that we don't know all the information yet. So as we are getting more information, of course, our thought process on it could and should evolve. That's an important part of what has to come next. So as we get more information and we try and get that, we'll try and get Dr. Gounder back to see if we can get some answers on what's next as we try and figure out how we move forward. She did say she gets more and more pessimistic about the timeline. And I, you know, it becomes a real point that we have to look at. I want to clarify from myself, I misspoke earlier. There is a live sporting event this weekend. UFC will fight Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. on ESPN, live from Brazil. I don't want to take anything away from UFC. So UFC will give us a live event on Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. on ESPN. So we're going to try Dr. Gounder again on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Dr. Gounder, I was asking you before what we look at for a solution. How can we find a cure, and what's realistic there?
So in terms of a cure, I don't know that we're going to have a cure specifically, but a treatment that would be helpful. Probably the best candidate treatment is called remdesivir, the drug being developed by Gilead. And, you know, we're looking at hopefully getting that fast-tracked and approved, you know, maybe by the fall. And then the vaccines, probably we won't have, as Tony Fauci with the NIH has said, until 18 months from now. But in the meantime, there are other things we need to be doing. So the social distancing stuff, that's something that we really need to do right now, because that's the only way to stop that exponential growth, that real massive takeoff spike in the curve, spike in cases. And that will then buy us some time. But people just are not taking this seriously enough still. And the problem is, they will once it's too late, but then it'll be too late. And you'll find yourself in the same situation as countries like Italy. And then you have to be even more draconian to compensate for that. So I am very worried about that. But if we truly were to practice very rigorous social distancing, really go on lockdown right now, that could make a big difference. You know, and then the other piece of it is figuring out, how do you test and how do we scale up testing? And I think some of this needs to be done, of course, in routine health facilities. But I think we also need to figure out a way to siphon off, to track people with milder symptoms or moderate symptoms, or maybe just the worried well. We need to sort of siphon them off from the routine health services and have a place for them to get tested that will be separate. And the reason for that is, you don't want the routine health systems to be overwhelmed with, overrun with patients. And that's what is going to happen otherwise. And then you have lots of people in confined spaces. That becomes a real difficult situation in terms of preventing transmission within those spaces. You know, people are stretched too thin in terms of capacity to actually see patients. It means if you come in with something that's not coronavirus, like a stroke or a heart attack, we won't be able to attend to you as quickly. So some of the creative things around the space that are happening are drive-through testing centers. So this was first done in South Korea, in the UK. Seattle has now started to do this. I hear Denver, Minneapolis, and in fact, New York State has just announced they're going to do this. So the idea is you literally drive up, somebody comes to you in your car, they'll take a specimen from your nose using a swab, they send that off to the lab, you go home, and they'll contact you at home with the results. Similarly, I think telemedicine is going to be really key here. So there are platforms that are very close to being able to do this, probably in the next 2 weeks or so, within the next 2 weeks, where through a smartphone app or a web application, you complete a screen in terms of what are your symptoms, what are your risk factors, you know, have you traveled, have you been in contact with anyone, all of those kinds of data, your demographics. And then they make some recommendations about, you know, do you need to be tested? If you want to order a test, you can do so through the platform. They send it to you, FedEx it to you at home. You self-sample using the kit. You send it back. And then they can call you or contact you through the app with your results and counsel you as to what to do next. So I think that's actually going to be really important, those kinds of out-of-the-box approaches, solutions, to really offloading the routine health services so that they can take care of the people who are the really sickest.
You guys asked me yesterday constantly. I'll give it out again. Here's her Twitter, at Celine Gounder, Dr. Celine Gounder. Again, check out the American Diagnosis and Epidemic podcast. We appreciate your time, your insight. You're making all of us smarter and better. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care.
We're going to continue to get these breakdowns from her as often as she'll join us, because it's important to keep everybody informed on it. In the meantime, Andy North joined First Take today to talk about the Masters being postponed, yet the next layer in all of the postponements we've seen. And check out what he said to Max and Stephen A.
Were you hearing guys alluding to this leading up to the postponement of the Masters?
Well, Stephen A., I got home last night from the TPC. I was down there. I had a chance to talk to quite a few players. I think the fact that we're an outdoor sport, a lot of guys thought that they could be probably okay playing if we didn't play in front of people. And that was the weirdest thing, them talking about, you know, we don't want to play without people there. I happened to play in an event years and years ago where we didn't have any fans because of a heat issue. And it was the weirdest thing you can imagine. As far as there wasn't a lot of talk about the Masters other than that just out there, you know, 4 weeks from now that there's the talk of not having any patrons there. Well, that, I think that goes against pretty much everything that Augusta stands for, to play the event without people there. So I think all in all, the players understand, but like so many, they're just pawns in this. They don't have a great understanding like so many of us. We don't know what we don't know, you know, as it's said sometimes. So I think that's the biggest issue.
Knowing you, you've spoken to everybody, Andy. Did you see a difference in terms of feelings, whether it be nervousness, fear, or whatever? Did you see a difference between players from America and players from other nations, or was it collectively basically the same in your estimation based on your conversations?
I think it's, you know, the players are just looking for information. They're looking for, in every organization, looking at their leadership and taking a cue from them. I know Rory has spoken out very strongly. He has really become the face of our business in some ways over the last year or so, about that we should all get tests and whatever. You know, there's only so many test kits out there. I think that we've got to be careful not to be, if you're healthy and you show no signs of it, why use up a test kit that somebody that needs it might be using? But I think all in all, our players are just like everybody else. Everybody's sitting back right now, dazed. They don't know really what's going on other than things are getting canceled, and they're trying to figure out, you know, their lives and what they need to do to go forward to protect their family and stay healthy.
So for a sport like golf, Andy, it seems there are two separate issues, and you've touched on both of them. One is the availability of test kits, of tests. Even if they proliferate and there are enough now, let's say, especially if it's considered kind of in the national interest for sports to be played as distraction, for example, so many people at home over the next several weeks and perhaps months, and test kits become more available. That's one issue. But then there's the other issue of, even if there's increased demand for the product, would the participants want to play in front of no one? Is it your understanding that even were the kits available and that were contained, at least in that way, the information was, still there would be no events?
Well, we have no idea. I mean, this is such a fluid situation right now. If you could test every single person in the United States and knew that everybody is clean, awesome. But you don't know who's coming off a plane from someplace. And, you know, you get a situation where we all think that we're healthy. This doesn't show up. I mean, there's a lot of people that from the information I have, and I've been able to get from some healthcare systems that I'm involved in, is that you can seem very, very healthy and actually have it, or you can get deathly sick with it. So, I mean, those are the things that, and not to say this is like a flu, because it's, you know, that's not the case, but you can get cases where someone gets a horrible reaction to the flu and somebody can have a very, very mild reaction. So it's not the same for everybody. It affects different age groups dramatically different. If you're under 60, your chance of dying are very, very low. Once you get over 60, they double. Once you go over 70, they double again. And once you go over 80, they double again.
As a golf aficionado, do you anticipate in any way where this could potentially have an effect on players' performance once play is resumed? Can you educate us about that?
No, I think, you know, this is, if you look at just the pure golf standpoint, as a player, you're going to be able to go practice if you want to go practice. You're going to be able to do things. This isn't going to be much different than taking a month off in the fall, other than you'll be much more careful if you're going out to your golf course. There's probably not going to be anybody out there. You'll have a chance to practice and do the things you need to do. It's just about being smart. Don't put yourself in positions that, you know, you shouldn't be in. I don't think, you know, this needs to be a panic situation, but guys are going to be, will be prepared when they come back out. Golf is so different than basketball or football, that, you know, being an individual sport, you prepare individually every time you go play someplace. You don't have to deal with trying to figure out how to come off a high screen and roll, or how I'm going to defend a high screen and roll with my teammates. You know, I think that's the biggest difference with getting our guys prepared.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and ESPN2. Wake up to Double the Good Stuff every morning. Get more out of breakfast. Start your day with $2 breakfast sandwiches only at McDonald's during breakfast hours. Price and participation vary. We're going to get some thoughts, obviously, from you guys. We've been asking you, given the distraction. I'm not trying to make light of anything. I want to give everybody the opportunity for a small distraction. So the small distraction here is simple. There's no live sports this weekend other than UFC on Saturday at 3 p.m. That's your one. Other than that, so what are you watching? What one event can you go back and rewatch? One game, one event that you're going to rewatch for a little escapism? Mark from Colorado chiming in. Mark, okay, you got one thing that you can pick from your past that you're going to rewatch. What's it going to be?
All right, Jason, appreciate you taking my call. I grew up in Mississippi. I will 100% take a tune in on Chad Kelly taking down the Alabama Crimson Tide a few years back.
I mean, that's a good one to take. Upsets are really getting a lot of votes here. I'm getting more tweets than I can handle, honestly, at this point. The Twitter wall is just absolutely blowing up with people coming in and showing us they're going to watch old games. A lot of votes coming in for the St. Louis Blues. Hockey people are absolutely all in on this. Hockey guy excited to get in and get his take on the Blues. Nikki comes in and says, most likely this year's Super Bowl is the only thing I have on my DVR. YouTube, people, just go out and YouTube. Come on, it's out there. Jonathan actually sending me YouTube clips of the calls he wants from Villanova versus North Carolina. Daryl comes in and says, two old men fishing. Daryl, that's a weird, I mean, you can rewatch any event. I don't know why you're rewatching two old men fishing. A lot of votes for the 2016 NBA championship. Both Eslam and Freddie B came in with that one. And, David again doubling down, saying, not ashamed to admit I had tears and they beat San Jose, talking about the Blues. So, we've got a lot of different options coming in, a lot of hockey. And then, of course, Johnny comes in and says, wrestling, baby. Coronavirus Smackdown. All right. We're going to have a little fun just because I want to give everybody the escapism. 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. 3776. Give me the one event you're going to rewatch from your sports life since you don't have any live sports this weekend. Don't forget also, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, giving you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Mina's back. Go check it out. Presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Coming up next, Max and Stephen A. get into it on whether the NCAA waited too long to cancel the NCAA tournament. You'll hear that, plus some of your take on great moments you're rewatching. But first, this year keeps sliding by. How's it March already? If you're not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero IT experience. Classes meet on campus or, important for right now, live online just twice a week. My Computer Career is a nationally accredited place, and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Did the NCAA need some help from rocket scientists? We'll get Max and Stephen A's thoughts next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and ESPN 2.
Listen, sports is all Golic knows. And with no sports, we can only imagine what he's getting into this weekend.
Just got some water skis on Amazon Prime.
Lord, bear me strength. More on that Monday. Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, ESPN 2. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys are blowing up Twitter. This is spectacular. Trying to have a little bit of escapism here, so we're asking you, with only one live sporting event this weekend, UFC tomorrow, 3 p.m., you can check that out, obviously on ESPN. With that only being your only shot, what are you going to go back? What moment from your past are you going to go back and rewatch for a little escapism? You can tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Young says the 2019 Masters. We've got another one here, says Cubs-Cleveland Game 7, Bulls-Jazz Game 6 of the 98 Finals. Getting a lot of Kobe's last game. You guys, every time I refresh the page, I have more tweets than I can read. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to get in on the Shell Penzo performance line. We'll take more of your take on that in a moment. We're brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. In the meantime, the NCAA has faced a lot of scrutiny for taking so much time to cancel the NCAA tournament. Stephen A. and Max debated the timing of it today on First Take.
The NCAA is always late to the party. I don't think they give a damn about the players, the student athlete. I think that's their number one asset. And I think religiously and continuously they have shown to lack of respect and decency when it comes to the athletes. It was nice to see them join the party. But to me, it should have been done earlier. Especially, I keep bringing this up, especially in light of the fact that the NBA had suspended its season. So why do I keep saying that? Understand that the NBA playoffs, ladies and gentlemen, begins in mid-April, religiously, okay? That's really when it happens. Between the 15th and the 20th of April is when the playoffs begin. March Madness is through the month of March. It ends the first week of April. Why? Because it doesn't want to be up against the NBA playoffs having to compete with all of that. And vice versa, by the way, okay? Because March Madness is big time. Now, here's what happens. The moment the NBA announced that it was suspending its season, that gives you the latitude in order to push back March Madness if you're the NCAA. Now, I'm going to defer to Jay Billis and his exceptional expertise as to why they didn't do that or why they felt they couldn't do that. I totally, totally understand that. And I'm not refuting any of it. But my point is that if that's the case, what the hell are you doing holding on for dear life to see what, if anything, could happen before you cancel March Madness? There was no reason, no incentive. Everybody around you is saying, excuse me, when you get a bunch of people together, the chances of the virus spreading are there. So at that particular moment in time, it's not about money. It's about human lives. And if you spend one extra minute thinking about dollars and cents over human life, you have revealed yourself to be pretty close to despicable. Nobody else did that but the NCAA. And that is the issue. I understand they ultimately made the right decision, and we all applaud that. But the point is, Emmett's statement before the cancellation of March Madness is something that we had to hold on to. The ACC tournament acted before, Big East tournament, the Ivy Leagues, they acted as individual institutions or individual conferences. They acted before the NCAA. That is a problem.
Well, do you think it was all about dollars and cents? Or
with the NCAA,
the
with the NCAA, without having, I don't need any. Their history shows they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt when it comes to looking out for the best interests of people, because they never do.
Well, one thing I'll say, and listen, I've talked about this, I don't know, a week ago at this point, when the Ivy League said they're withdrawing. I quoted the Harvard professor who said, in a few weeks, there's not going to be a kid in a college classroom anywhere. So really, what are they waiting for, right? And you've pointed out, Stephen A., why is Major League Baseball off the hook?
Right.
You're singling out the NCAA, and I agree with the sentiment, but let's not forget, Major League Baseball is holding spring training
games.
Well,
I did bring that up yesterday.
Yeah, in facilities where lots of people were coming together. Charlie, to answer your second question, of course, it's always dollars and cents. And it doesn't even make a business the bad guy. Business, as I've said, is amoral. Morality is not an issue. We just like to think it is. When it comes to businesses, their job is to make money. Like a shark's is to eat something. You don't get mad at the shark. That's what it does. A business makes money. That's why you need regulation. That's why you need people in charge of the business making common sense decisions. So why do I bring that up? Because it's totally understandable to me that Adam Silver, who I think is the best example of an excellent commissioner right now, when the issue hit about China and they tried to kind of control the speech policy of an American league, Adam Silver didn't act that day because, yes, you want to figure out how can we keep this business together. You, of course, you want to protect your bottom line. But when it became apparent, wait, inevitably this leads here, he made the choice. It didn't happen like that second because he tried to protect the bottom line, but then he made the choice. Same thing here with the coronavirus. The NBA did not immediately cancel the season, right? And they still haven't. They postponed it. Can we play in empty gyms? Can we move it to cities without the virus? He tried to do what was reasonable to ensure this season. When it became apparent that he could no longer do that, because once Gobert tested positive, then he has to be quarantined, everyone he touched quarantined, etc., he postponed the season. So people who are willing to look past their immediate, like that day's financial incentive, and look toward the long-term health, like Adam Silver, look very good right now, and those who were slow to do it, like Emmert, don't.
This is a massive twisting and revisionist history by a lot of people. We can fault the NCAA all day long. I'm not going to credit the NBA. We make it sound like the NBA wasn't out for money without acknowledging that the game was canceled with a full arena because people were there. Why did the NBA cancel games? Not because they're worried about everybody's health. They canceled games because somebody tested positive and they had to. They cared so little about it up to that point that they were going to let the game be played. They've had multiple players fail this test. They've had referees fail this test. Everybody was impacted. They canceled because they had to cancel. And suddenly we're putting a bow on a pig and making it sound like it's something great. This isn't. The NBA doesn't deserve any more credit than any other league. They were still trying to get their cash. They were still trying to get their money. They got the lucky benefit of being unlucky enough to have a player test positive, and because of that, they made the same cancellation anybody else would have had to make in that same situation. Good Lord. I don't know why we're praising them so much. All right. Pennzoil Synthetic, by the way, that's what we're brought to you by. Pennzoil Synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. If it gives you, I don't know. It just went away. I don't know what Pennzoil gives you. We'll tell you what Pennzoil gives you later. In the meantime, Rashad from Toronto chiming in on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, telling us what one event are you rewatching, Rashad?
Before I say that, yo, Doc, that was a great take you just said, man, because the NBA, how you broke that down in terms of how the NBA wants profit. And then, so even the St. John's Creighton game, why did they play the first half?
Yeah. Anyhow, everybody out there's out for their money. Everybody's out there for their money. But go ahead. You're rewatching one event. I'll get off my soapbox, Rashad. Go ahead.
We're the champions. We're the champions. I'm in Toronto right now. We're the champions. I'm watching the Golden State Warriors lose to the Raptors. Actually, I'm watching the whole of last year's Raptor playoffs. Orlando, Philadelphia, Kawhi Leonard is a buzzer. Milwaukee, Kawhi Leonard on Giannis. And then when we beat Golden State, we got that title in Golden State. We the North, baby. And we're the champs still. So if the season's canceled, we're still the champs, right?
Oh, my God, Rashad, with the point of that's the mic drop right there. Rashad, tweet me, @JasonFitz. Tweet me, I'm going to get you some First Take Your Take swag. That was by far the point of the day. Love that from Rashad. Absolutely. They're still the champs. By the way, now I know Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. Proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. We'll keep breaking it down. I'll keep, giving you my thoughts on the NBA. But in the meantime, all that talk about the NCAA, the tournament was canceled. Next up, we're going to talk to somebody that might be more affected by it than anybody else. You'll hear from them next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. I'm Jason Fitz.
Things in sports continue to move fast in light of the coronavirus. We'll have the latest from all the major leaguers, but we're also going to try something a little different. Monday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Download the Vivid Seats app and enter promo code ESPN25 at checkout to get 10% off your next order.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News, ESPN2. We're all over the place. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where we're giving you a little opportunity for some escapism. You've stacked the lines. You've also tweeted me at Jason Fitz. We want to know what one event you're going to go back with, only one UFC live event, no other live sports this weekend. What one event are you going to go out and rewatch that you loved from your past over the course of the weekend for a little escapism? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you missed our interview today, we started the show with Dr. Celine Gounder. Second day in a row we've had her. She was spectacular. Go check it out in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that watches what might be wrong with your credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and helps you fix anything. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. In the meantime, let's go over to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line right now. We're joined by Rutgers head coach Steve Peichel. This is important because Rutgers hasn't made the tournament since 1991. I've been hosting a bracket show with Joe Lunardi on ESPN Plus. He had Rutgers slated as a 9 seed in his final bracket prediction. Their first season over 500 for Rutgers since 2005, 2006. An incredible season for Rutgers, and now no opportunity to play further into the postseason. So I want to ask you, Coach, what was your initial reaction to hearing that the tournament's not happening?
Boy, I can only tell you, Jason, it was a crazy, day yesterday, because we were warming up for the, first round game against Michigan, and with about 14 minutes left, we found out the news, 14 minutes left on the clock, that the Big Ten tournament was being canceled. So we didn't really hear about the NCAA. We were, obviously disappointed, to hear that news about the Big Ten tournament. And then we quickly made plans to fly back home. And while we were flying in the air, I guess the decision was made with the NCAA tournament. So, our guys got, tough news before the game, and then the flight lands and their phones all pop up at different times. And they actually informed me. I'm always the last one to know with social media about what's going on. But, just a tough day, a tough 12 hours for, our program. These guys have worked really hard, and we had that date in our locker room for a long time, 3:15:20, and to be a part of the dance, and disappointed, obviously, but I'm thankful that people are being really smart about this, and certainly don't want to be a part of the spread of this virus, and thankful that they made great decisions based on student athletes. And my daughter too was getting ready. She was going to play in the tournament too. She's at Northwestern as a junior at Northwestern, so their team finished first. So have a lot of people disappointed, but we'll get through this obstacle, and hopefully this will build some tremendous strength and character down the road for student athletes.
We're talking to Rutgers head coach Steve Peichel. So, Coach, we were just talking about senior eligibility. In your mind, how should the NCAA handle that for next year?
Boy, I tell you, they got a lot of decisions, and there's so many things going on right now that they're going to have to make decisions on. But I tell my seniors, I tell my freshmen this: don't be in a hurry to get out of college. This is a great, great part of your life, and I do think if they offered that, I think some kids would take advantage of it for sure, and I think other kids will probably continue on doing what they want to be doing. So I hope they get that option, to be able to make that decision, but I think that's way down the road.
Your program was going to have a real opportunity to shine in front of people in the NCAA tournament. So for anyone that didn't see Rutgers basketball, what's the one thing you want people to know about your program right now?
You know what? I'm just, you know, I'm excited. We took a huge step this year and, you know, playing in the best league in the country. I think 11 of our teams were ranked out of 14. It's an unbelievable percentage. And, you know, we sold out every game at home. We were 18-1 at home. And, you know, I'm just proud, you know, of my team. 3.0 teams, grade point average. They fought all year. We were very unselfish. You know, we have a lot of good players returning, and I'm thankful that they took on the challenge when I took the job of raising Rutgers basketball, and these guys all have accomplished that, and our seniors especially, Kwasi Aboa, Shaq Carter, and Joey Downs, three seniors that, you know, took on that responsibility of raising our program, and that's, you know, what we've done, and I was only disappointed. Our last two games were Maryland, and we were the NCAA big, you know, the NCAA team of the week, beating Purdue at Purdue and Maryland on the same week. And we were playing really good basketball going into both these tournaments. And I think we would have been a real tough out. I was very confident in that.
Like every great coach, you always deflect to the players. But for you personally, you haven't had the chance yet to be a head coach in an NCAA tournament game. So I'm going to ask you difficultly, focus on yourself there. What was that moment of finding out that it's gone like for you personally?
You know what? I mean, I was fortunate enough. I played, you know, as a basketball player, and then at Stony Brook, we played Kentucky. Even though it was a quick trip, once they threw the ball up in Kentucky, had all those draft picks, the game was over. But, you know, so I've been able to coach in it. And, you know, this year I would have just loved it for my team. You know, I just think for the community, for their families, you know, that experience that you can, you know, never replicate, you know, is what you know, I wanted them to have, and I wanted them to see how exciting basketball is, and when you look at it through the NCAA tournament's eyes, and you know, I was hoping that they could experience that. So I'm disappointed, but my staff has worked really hard. I got great assistant coaches and the people around my program. I wanted them to experience it. We haven't been in a while here at Rutgers, but you know, better days ahead for our program.
Well, Coach, I'm disappointed in myself for not acknowledging the 2015-16 Stony Brook team. That's my fault, Coach.
Hey, that's all right. It was a quick trip there. Coach Calipari is a great coach, and he took care of us, and shortly after that jump ball went up. So it was short-lived, but well, it was exciting.
We appreciate your time. I will tell everybody what Joe Lunardi told me over and over again. Keep an eye on Rutgers. You guys are going great places. Thank you so much for your time, Coach.
I appreciate you having me on. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
You know, it is. These are the moments you think about for the kids that find out their tournament opportunity's gone. You think about the coaches that find out their tournament opportunity's gone. And then how do you put context around a season where you thought maybe you had the chance to do something special and now you don't get that opportunity? I don't care what the NCAA has to do to give seniors the choice. I think they should give seniors the choice to figure out how to come back and finish what they started, because it was taken away from them from no fault of their own. Up next, the Masters has also been postponed. So the question is, how is that affecting the golf world? And I want to keep taking your take. You guys are blowing us up with what you're going to rewatch to get a little escapism from your sports past. We'll take some of your take next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN App. And of course, ESPN2.